Hi, I'm Ray. Welcome to Ray's Rants Interviews. This is my first interview with Diane, who is a retired nurse. She began nursing back in the early 1980s for the NHS, that's the National Health Service, and she worked for over 40 years in hospitals and a GP's surgery. My first question to Diane was, when did you decide that you wanted to be a nurse, or when did you realise that you first wanted to go into nursing? Here's what she said.
Well, I sort of always wanted to be a nurse, really. I mean, I think when Dad was in hospital, you know, Dad went in when
yes.
he was...
What age were you then?
That was 1971, so I would have been seven years old. Dad was in hospital for 2 weeks. We visited him a couple of times in the hospital, and I was just fascinated. I went in the door, the smells, the sights, the tubes, the beds.
The smell of a hospital.
And the nurses running around and people just... Yeah, and it just fascinated, and I wanted to know what was going on. I thought, oh, this is really interesting. I mean, I was sort of sitting with Dad, but I wanted to have a look and see what everything was happening with everyone else. So just, it's fascinated by it.
It's nice to know when you're at school what career you want to do, rather than leave and think, well, now what do I do? That's good. So what did you do? When you left school, go to the hospital and say, have you got any jobs?
Well, initially, there was thoughts of me training to be a doctor. So I was doing all right with my exams until I got to 16. And then I discovered men, motorbikes, music, going out and about.
Pink Floyd.
Failed me. A-levels.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't do very well at my A-levels. And that was my fault because I didn't study. I was lazy. And I thought, well, I've got good O-levels. What can I do with good O-levels? And a careers thing showed nursing. And there used to be an advert on telly, people remember nurses.
Yes.
And I remember seeing that and I used to think, people remember nurses. And I saw they had a leaflet from Worthing and Southlands Hospital about training there, and I looked at it over and over again. I thought, do you know what, I could do that. So I applied and got an interview. They wanted me to continue and take my A-levels. I knew I was going to fail them, but I said, then I could take my A-levels. So they offered me a job in the April, and I could have started in May, but they said, no, take your A-levels. So I didn't start till the September. So I went over to Southlands Hospital, had an interview. Dad took me over there in the car and he was sat outside waiting for me to come out. And then they wanted to speak to him because in those days they liked to meet your parents as well.
Yeah.
So there's Dad in his scruffy old clothes. So he came in and chatted to them.
Yeah.
They showed us all around the hospital. They had a little volunteer lady. Spent more time chatting to Dad than she did to me because she quite liked him. We had a look around the wards and that was it. And they offered me a job and I started
in September. They offered
it
to you then and there?
Yeah.
When did you start?
September 1982.
Right. So what did you do? Where did you go? Sort of 9 o'clock Monday morning when you start?
Oh, no. We started... I was offered a job and I decided to be in residence at the hospital because obviously you finish it late, and that was at Southlands Hospital, Shoreham.
So you left home?
I left home, sort of.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Sort of. I was half at home, half at the nurse's home. So on the Sunday evening, Dad and Mum drove me over to Southlands Hospital, and they had a nurse's home called Beeding House where all the introductory block nurses started. Yeah. So we're all brand new. They put us alphabetically along the corridor. So my two closest friends there had very similar names in the alphabet. One began with a P, one with an R, and we're all sort of, we're all friends at one end, and they were friends at the other end as well with the lower letters in the alphabet. But
brilliant.
And I had a single room. You had your own single room. You didn't have your own bathroom or anything like that. No. You had shared.
Did you have to pay for accommodation?
Yeah, £10 a week.
Did you?
So that was
out of your weight? Well, that's a lot of money.
It paid £160 a month.
Right.
And 40 of that went on lodging, so...
Okay. You had to buy your own food, of course.
Oh, yes. Bought your own food. There was a kitchen. Everybody used to steal your food.
Oh, did they?
They'd have a big old fridge there, and if you weren't careful, somebody would have eaten whatever you'd planned to have for your next meal.
Right. But you enjoyed it all, though.
Yeah, I loved it. It was nice, but the nurse's home was great.
Yeah.
We arrived on the Sunday night, unpacked all our stuff, started chatting to all the other girls. And then all the male nurses that lived in Thakham House came mooching over to see what the new girls looked like.
Of course.
So we had all the male nurses over.
Yeah. What did you do? Go straight onto a ward or into, like, classes?
You started in the School of Nursing. They used to have tatty old building at the back of Southlands. It was like a flat roof thing. It was a bit rough and it had classrooms, mainly elderly nurse tutors, sort of women in their 50s, 60s that had, I'm saying that I'm 60 now, but older women, a lot of them single women that have been in nursing all their lives, and they just became nurse tutors. And it was all, you know, like a school, and you had six weeks in introductory block where you did odd trips out onto the ward.
So you did have a little trip on the ward down then?
Yeah, making beds.
Yes.
Putting people on bedpans. We practiced putting each other on bedpans first, which was quite hilarious. And they had a room which had beds, bedpans and all the things, you know, bedpan washers. And
there's so much to learn. In 6 weeks, you couldn't have learned everything, obviously.
Well, no, you learn the basics. I mean, you could be useful making beds. You could be useful giving people a drink. You could help somebody get on a bedpan. You were taught how to lift patients, so you could help them move and transfer from bed to chair. And
stick needles in people.
We did practice sticking needles in oranges, which they did actually do.
Oh, really? Oranges.
And we practiced. And I mean, the very first time I stuck a needle in an actual human being, it was, my hands were shaking.
That must have been, I mean, if you're taking blood, you've got to get in the vein. Anyway, we don't want to go in the blood.
We didn't do that. We didn't take blood. That's a later on skill, I have to say. Yeah. But injections were fine. I mean,
did you have to pay for your uniform?
No. No.
Oh, that was supplied.
Yeah, we had checked uniforms, pale blue checked uniforms.
I remember them, yes.
And the qualified nurses had plain uniforms.
Yeah.
And we had hats with stripes. And in your first year, you had one stripe. Second year, you had two stripes. Third year, you had three stripes. And when you qualified, you had a wide band.
It was very, what's the word, sort of military, wasn't it? Was there a matron that you had?
Yes, yeah, there was matrons.
And was she like Hattie Jakes in the Carry On film?
There was more than one matron. There was one for surgical matron, there was night matrons, there was ones for the medical side, ones for the care of the elderly.
Were they fierce?
Probably fierce isn't the right word.
I've been reading the Nursing Times, as you do.
Yeah.
Just doing some homework. And it says here, in the 1960s, that's way before your time, of course, matron was still very much a figure of fear and to be respected by the nursing staff. Her word was law, and nurses were only allowed to speak to her or sister if they were addressed.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you didn't mess with the matrons.
No.
But I never felt they didn't come across as, not all of them, some of them were a bit more formidable than others, and some of the ward sisters were pretty horrendous.
But they were scary.
Yeah, so you respected them because I was a first-year nurse, and used to sit in the whole hospital was staffed virtually by student nurses and just one or two trained nurses on each ward. So there was hundreds of student nurses everywhere. And you knew your place, you know. I was an introductory block nurse, so basically going on the ward, you were just sort of the lowest of the low. And gradually you moved you out. And you mean, a nursing officer would speak to you occasionally, but not often. They would generally go in and speak to the staff nurses.
Did you do shift work? Did you have to work at night?
Yes.
Because it's 24 hours, obviously, a hospital, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you started, say, introductory block. You did your 6 weeks. Yeah. And then they allocated you a ward and you had a placement for about 9 to 10 weeks. Your first placements were a medical placement or a surgical placement. And then you swapped. So you did, like, 6 months of the year, 3 months on medical, 3 months on surgical. And you worked there. And you worked. You didn't... If there was something interesting going on, they might let you see it if you were free. If you had work to do, you have patients to, you know, wash, dress, get up. You didn't. You just did the work because you were there to work and learn alongside it. So
yeah. Just going back to matrons, when I was in hospital in 60-something or other, the doctors did their rounds, as they probably still do. And this matron, this chap in the bed next to me, was reading a newspaper. And she went and snatched it. He said, "Oh, I'm reading that." And she said, "No, you're not. The doctor's coming round." It was that strict. And you could see the nurses were terrified of her. Do they have matrons now?
Yeah, they do. They have clinical matrons.
Right.
I mean, which is sort of like, I think, a grade 8 or a grade 9, which is like above the sisters. But they're not. You have bed managers as well, which are sort of like a matron. They organise which beds you go to. Yeah. And the clinical matrons are what they, you know, they can help organise the work, organise the staff.
Right.
But at the time, no, they were formidable. And you had to, if you knew that there was a ward round, matron possibly could be coming with a consultant, you'd have to make sure the beds were made, everything was tidy, patients were sat on their beds or beside their beds. They weren't allowed to be wandering around or gone out for a fag because they did used to be allowed to go outside to smoke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that reminds me of something else. Is it true that people were given Mackeson, beer?
Yeah, I mean, we used to give Guinness.
Oh, you did?
Guinness, yeah. We give people Guinness. It's usually on the care of the elderly ward where they feel they have a little treat of Guinness. Or a brandy. or whiskey.
On the NHS?
Yeah, and they were in the trolley in medicine bottles, and it had whiskey or brandy or whatever, and you'd have a little measuring pot and you'd measure out 30 mils or 60 mils.
So there was a drinks trolley.
Well, it was. It had all the pills as well, but you'd have all the drinks at one end, along with the laxatives and the other things.
All I got was Lucozade, and my mum had to pay for that.
Yeah, no, you would. That was more for the elderly, sort of the long term. That
I was 14, they wouldn't have given me beer, would they?
No, of course they wouldn't.
Unfortunately, I do remember the doctor round, and in the 60s, I had long hair, of course, even though I was 14. And one of the nurses was ordered by the matron to go and sort his hair out. I had to have my hair combed because the doctor was coming round. Incredible, isn't it?
The matrons obviously ran the hospital as such, but the consultants, everyone, you had to defer to the doctors as a nurse when I started. You did defer to the doctors. And nowadays, I think it's good because all the nurses are degree trained, and if they think something is wrong, they don't defer to the doctors. They will argue their case and put their point across, and I think that's so much better. We just accepted what we were the doctor's handmaidens to a degree. They were starting to get a little bit more assertive, some of the nurses, but really you were basically the doctors were in charge, and we did the care, they did the clinical decisions.
Did you work in the operating theatre?
Yeah, that was
one. Did you observe?
Yes. No, I was in there. They got us in there helping. We had to help set the trolleys up. And I was in there watching hip replacements, hysterectomies, caesareans.
Oh, God. Right.
Yeah, all sorts.
Did the surgeon say scalpel and hold his hand up?
To be quite honest, it was the senior nurses that dealt with the surgeons, because they couldn't have some numbnuts handing them the scalpel the wrong way round and cutting the surgeon's hand. You'd be too nervous. So,
yeah.
I mean, they used to have the senior nurse, but you could be a runner. You'd be going out to get things and running backwards and forwards, and you were sort of in there. Well, orthopaedics sounded like a carpenter's shop. You could hear drills going, you could hear chisels, you could hear when some people having hip done, their legs are in all sorts of strange positions.
So it's not just scalpel, it's hacksaw,
file. It could be hacksaw, and there was even like Black and Decker saws that they were using for cutting into bones. But yeah, I never felt queasy, because I'm not really... I'm only queasy if the children have cut themselves, and then I don't. It's not even queasy then. I just can't bear it if the children hurt themselves.
I can't see children being hurt and stuff.
No, that's why I didn't go into paediatrics as a general rule. I had to do a placement on paediatrics, but 9 weeks was enough.
And you worked on A&E?
For a long time, yeah. That was my favourite. I wouldn't have left if they did Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, I'd have stayed in A&E because I loved it. It was an interesting place to work, always something happening, something different.
Yes, that must have been interesting. Well, I don't know if that's the right word, interesting.
Challenging.
That's the word.
Challenging, and it was interesting, and there was sometimes fun. You had a laugh, with patients. Not always about them, but, sometimes there was a... You never knew what was coming through the door.
You worked at a GP surgery in the end, didn't you?
Yeah, for nearly 20 years in the end. And that was all right, because you didn't always know what was going on there. Well, you never knew what was going on in doctor surgery. But it was, people weren't staying there. They'd come in with their problem and they'd go again. It's not like nursing them on the ward. And you get to know their families then more. And, their granny would come in with something and you'd see them or their kids. And you knew the whole family and you got involved. And generally less serious things than you would see in A&E. It was more ongoing treatments.
And then you retired. You did your bit and retired.
I retired at 55, yes.
Well, why not? You've done your bit.
I've done my bit. And I've left a daughter doing her bit now, so she's...
Yes, that'd be nice to interview her, wouldn't it, to see what it's like now. Yeah. They go to university these days.
Laura went to university, and that was in... She went in 20... When did she go? She would have gone 2008. Mm. She started her training. So
do you think that's better? Does she ever, on university, do they ever see a ward?
They do go on placements, yeah. I mean, I think they teach them all to be sort of like critical thinkers and actually go for evidence-based rather than what you've just been told to do. You do research it yourself. You understand it. And I think if you're going to be a good nurse, however you're trained, you'll still be a good nurse.
Yeah. I suppose there's a balance between like theory and practical stuff, isn't it? You've got to have the theory, but at the same time you need to be doing practical.
I mean, you do need to be doing practical, and I still think there's a place for nurses that don't go to university, some that are really good bedside nurses but maybe don't have the academic knowledge to be you know, sort of one of the more, you know, senior nurses just doing the actual patient care.
Is there still, what was it, RSENSRN? Is there still?
Not now as such. They have, they call them level one nurses now, right. like the old SRNs. And you can have healthcare assistants that got MVQs and various things like that, so that are more qualified. But the old SEN grade sort of disappeared, really, because you used to need two O levels to be an SEN, five O levels to be an SRN. And that was the minimum qualification. So
I keep hearing on the telly and on the news that the NHS is on its knees.
Well, it is.
Why is that, do you think?
Again, as you know me, I'm quite political anyway. It has been. The waiting lists have been going up steadily since 2010. Yeah. Austerity starved it of money. And you can't keep starving it of money.
They keep saying, though, they're throwing millions at it.
They are, but not necessarily in the right places. And the number of people needing the service is going up. People are leaving. We've lost nurses back to the EU because, you know, they haven't got an automatic right to work here. They're now saying carers won't be able to bring their families from abroad if they come to work here. They won't have an automatic right to bring their families here. And who's going to do that necessarily? If you want to set up a new life, work in the NHS, do you want to leave your family still abroad?
No, of course not. And what about doctors and nurses going to America and Australia, where you get a lot more money?
Less so to America. They tend to go to Australia.
Do they? Yeah.
But, I mean, yes, a lot of them do go there because it's much better conditions in the service there. However, the cost of living there is quite a lot higher. Mm. So they're not necessarily much better off than they are here, just maybe not quite so stretched.
And the private sector here, they get paid more?
Not necessarily more nursing-wise. The doctors certainly get more because they're working in there. I have some reservations about the private sector, only because in as much as the fact a lot of them don't provide intensive care. So if you're having an operation there, something goes wrong, they ship you back into the NHS. Therefore, they don't have to pay to maintain the emergency services there. Not all. Some have, but not all.
Yeah.
And they are working their doctors into the ground, some of them, because now they want more cover in the private hospitals. And even the private doctors are now starting to get more overworked and stressed as well, because they're pushing patients in from the NHS into the private, and they're not necessarily as well equipped to cope with them.
So really, we've got too many people, not enough staff.
And not enough money going in. You know my political persuasion, but it was getting better under Labour, I have to say. The Conservatives, I've got a nasty feeling that they're trying to slowly privatise. And I think if you get it to fail, then the chance of privatising it gets higher.
Yes, we'll end up like America.
Yeah, which is not good. Some of the European systems are part private, part, you know, sort of state services, and they're not necessarily so bad, but you wouldn't want the American system because you lose your house if you get ill. There's Medicare for those that have nothing, but some people don't even have enough money to pay for their insulin. They're diabetics, they struggle to find their next dollar for insulin. You want NHS free at the point of use. I don't see why patients can't pay for their food while they're in hospital and pay for normal. You mean you'd be paying for food at home, pay for it in hospital.
Yeah. You'd be paying for food, heating and the rest of it. That's right,
you know,
especially
you could
food.
Chipping into that, couldn't you?
If they just charge like a couple of pounds for a meal. Yeah.
And I think most people would actually be happy to pay more taxes if they knew it was going directly to the NHS to be used properly, not wasted or frittered or spent on management.
Are there too many chiefs and not enough Indians, as they used to say in the old days?
I think there was for a while, but I think they've cut down a lot on management now. But then you still need management because CQC come visiting and you need to have things organised properly. So if you don't have it organised properly, they'll penalise you.
Oh, that's great, Diane. Thanks.
Was there any other?
You think of anything? What would you like to add?
Not really. I just love nursing. And I always, throughout my career, I couldn't see why anyone wouldn't love being a nurse, because you're helping people at their most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it's actually it's an honour to be able to help people at times.
You obviously don't go into nursing to get rich. It's a vocation.
No, you don't go in to get rich. But you can go in there. You get, in other ways, you get a lot of satisfaction from it. And you can really make a difference to people. And that's what I like.
That's nice. That's lovely. OK, thanks, Diane. We'll end it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. I hope you enjoyed the interview as much as I did. I found it really interesting. If you'd like to comment, just contact me, raiserants@protonmail.com. That's raiserants@protonmail.com. Be great to hear from you. look out for the next interview, which hopefully will be soon. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.